we can use this at most any atmosphere, we believe, but really the driver is at Mars. I always say that Mars has a poor excuse for an atmosphere. It's too much of an atmosphere to ignore, but too thin to really do the landings like we do at Earth. And so it's a real challenge to try to enter the atmosphere and get all the things done to safely land on the surface before you run out of air, or atmosphere, I should say. And so we're typically limited by the diameter of the launch vehicle we're going in. We usually send these rockets to Mars, and we actually have more volume inside them or more mass that we could throw to Mars, but we can't get it to the surface because we need to have this aeroshell, this heat shield, to protect us through entry, and that heat shield has to fit inside the launch shroud. So the idea with these inflatables are that we could actually deploy a larger aeroshell out of a given launch vehicle and therefore land more mass to the surface or land at a higher altitude.
And so basically it's deployed once the spacecraft reaches its close to its position?
Yeah, it would be similar to what we just did in our flight test. As we would approach Mars or any other planet, we would deploy it once we got fairly close to the target, but outside the atmosphere.
Okay, and so this then slows it down tremendously. I mean, talk about the speeds at which you think you can slow the aircraft.
Well, so, you know, typically, well, all right, so let me step back here. The spacecraft that we just did was not really a spacecraft, but, you know, the experiment we just did was on a very small sounding rocket, and so we didn't have the kind of speeds that ultimately we will need to take into account. But if we're going to Mars, we might be coming in at, 7 kilometers a second, very fast speeds. Once we get into the atmosphere, you're talking Mach 35, Mach 40, so 40 times the speed of sound.
Wow, 40 times the speed of sound.
Yeah, it gets to be going so fast that Mach number really doesn't have a meaning because the molecules of the atmosphere start dissociating and ionizing, and so you really Mach number loses its relevance, and you really just start talking about pure energy, the velocity.
And so you really need something. Now, does it come up against the same kind of forces that it would on Earth? Would it, you know, create a explosive atmosphere or heat buildup?
Absolutely. It's all about how many molecules are hitting the surface as you go in. So a thicker atmosphere at a given velocity, you'll have more impacts. You just got higher density of material there, so more impacts, and that's what's generating the heat. But at some point, you got to dissipate that energy. So you're either going to decelerate high with a large vehicle or decelerate low with a smaller vehicle. And that's really what helps us out. By going with a larger vehicle, we decelerate at higher altitudes, so we're distributing those impacts over our larger area, and our heating goes down.
And so you've already tested this, you said, on a smaller rocket at much lower speeds. How did it perform?
Oh, it went better than actually we had hoped for. We had a perfect launch. We deployed out of the launch vehicle cleanly. We inflated the aeroshell, and actually it had no control system or anything. So when it hit the atmosphere, it was whatever angle of attack it was flying at, it had to right itself, and it did that. And it survived our heat pulse, which was not huge on this first flight. And then we were able to track it. We had video on it, and you could see the Earth underneath as we were coming down. And it was aerodynamically, it was very stable through supersonic, transonic, and even down into subsonic. So it went very well.
We're talking this morning to Dr. Neil Cheatwood. He's chief scientist of NASA's hypersonic project, part of NASA's aeronautics research mission. And they're looking at trying to deploy a heat shield that would allow, landing from very quick speeds on Mars, slow down the spacecraft so that it could land on Mars. All right, so tell us practically, what would this be able to do in the future beyond what it would do for, a manned or unmanned trip to Mars? What else would this be able to accomplish for NASA and its other space missions?
Well, one of the challenges we have is we've got the International Space Station, and we've got the shuttle that services it. And actually, when the shuttle goes up, it actually, when it comes back, it's bringing some experiments, it's bringing even garbage. You know, you've got to get rid of stuff that's on the station. And so there is interest in, could we have these inflatables just sitting there kind of in a suitcase And when you needed to get rid of your garbage or whatever, you didn't have to wait for the shuttle. Or if you had an experiment that was done, you could go ahead and send it back down. As I think you're aware, the shuttle has only got about 7 more flights in it, and we actually do need to be developing some way to bring these payloads back from the station.
So would it have some sort of propulsion unit attached to it?
We could do that. In fact, in our future flights, we're probably going to demonstrate controllability. So, you could deploy it from station and then actually guide it into where you wanted it. That's the idea.
And can you give us an idea of size, or does it not matter?
Well, you really scale the size to how much stuff you're bringing down. It's kind of like, pulling water from a well. The bigger the bucket you got, the more water you can bring up. Well, flip that problem in reverse, and the bigger aeroshell you got, the more mass you can bring down.
And is this a new material that you've been experimenting with, something that could have other applications?
Well, the materials we used for this first test are actually kind of off-the-shelf materials. We used Kevlar for our structure. We silicon-coated it so that it would actually hold pressure. And then we use Kapton film. It's just a thin film that you may have heard of that to use that as a vapor barrier, an air barrier. And then on the outside, we used a ceramic fiber called Nextel. So we kind of went off-the-shelf items for this first one. However, we do have a ground-based program where over the last year we've been testing some more exotic materials, and then in the coming year we're going to look at maybe get some custom weaves done and stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like it has potential for fire prevention here on Earth at some point.
Well, yeah, the thing is with NASA, when you're pushing the boundaries like this, there's lots of spinoffs you don't even anticipate. We certainly have reaped the benefits of that from even the Apollo program even to now.